Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
I love Sunday nights.
You know, I drove all the way in from Youngstown.
I know. I'm tired of hearing about that distance thing.
Oh, my gosh.
That's just a joke. I'm not really tired of it.
Oh, well, that's good.
And I'm sure both of our listeners have heard it before.
It is quite a distance, I must
it
say.
Is.
No, I joke.
It is. I'm sure both of our listeners have heard that before.
Yeah. Two in particular. Anyway.
Well, here we are again. I don't know what we've been talking about. Last time we talked about Galatians 6 and how Paul was only going to boast in the cross and not boast in anything else. And we were talking about living in the spirit rather than the flesh and how churches are getting more into the flesh than into the spirit.
Yeah, more fleshly than spiritual.
Yeah.
I'm laughing because last week you said, I just want to make one point out of Galatians 6.
Right.
We talked about it for 24 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why whenever I record teachings and put on the website, I always have to like edit out a lot of the people talking and laughing and joking and stuff.
Yeah.
But almost every time at the beginning, I say, now I promise I'm going to get this done in about 35 minutes. And then 56 minutes later. Yeah. But you know, that's the thing is, I mean, you get into the Word and there's so mm-hmm. much depth to it.
Oh, yeah.
And, I think it's important to point out that Paul was so concerned about how people that he had brought to the Lord were then living their lives, when it's very clear that he didn't espouse the idea that, hey, once you're saved, everything's all set and it doesn't matter what you do after that. I mean, he talks about if you persevere to the end, you'll be saved. If you run the race, you got to finish the race. You run with you keeping your eye on the prize. And this is why we always say the Christian life is not a 100-yard dash.
Mm,
it's a long marathon.
Exactly.
And sometimes you got to run through the puddles and sometimes you fall down and sometimes you run over the ice and sometimes you fall down and sometimes you got a beautiful stretch of ground you run on. And then next thing you know, it's pouring rain again.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you say that, I'm thinking about when Jesus called the disciples to follow him. They followed him for 3 years. And they didn't really understand until after the resurrection, until after the power of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, came upon them.
Mm-hmm.
Then they understood fully the mission that they had, that was given to them, and what they had been called for. And that doesn't change at all for anybody who becomes a believer in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone who receives the grace of salvation by believing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that he's risen from the dead, died for their sins, and, you know, ascended into heaven. The call is the same. It's to go and make disciples of all nations. We might make a few disciples. We might mm-hmm. make hundreds of type, mm-hmm. you know, thousands of disciples. That's really God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we just have to cooperate and be available to what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can't try to figure the whole thing out. You have to walk in it day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, you accomplish what God has planned for you.
Yeah, look at in Acts chapter 9 when Paul is converted and when Saul is converted and he's laying in the bed in Damascus and he can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord tells Ananias to go over there and then tells him what's going to happen.
Right.
And here's this obscure guy who I don't think is mentioned anymore in any of the scripture,
mm-hmm.
but this guy got to go to Saul of Tarsus, heal him, baptize him, and tell him what the Lord had told him.
Yeah.
This is what his mission was.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how much longer he lived after that. Nobody knows.
Right.
But for the next 10 or 20 or 30 years, he heard about Paul going around the whole known world preaching. And he sat there and probably thought, wow, you know, I just did what the Lord told me. And I went over there and talked to him and baptized him.
Yeah.
And now look what happened.
He laid hands on him. And you know, the interesting thing it's the power of God working through the person. It's not the person. Because sometimes, like in a healing ministry, people go, that person healed me.
Yes.
And you have to be careful of that, because God has chosen that person as a servant, mm-hmm. as a vessel, a conduit, if you will, mm-hmm. to work through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the person that has the power. It's Jesus that has the power.
That's right.
It's not the person that has the authority. It's Jesus's name that has the authority. So you have to be, you know, you have to be cautious of that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Let's go to Galatians 5.
Are we
going
to go to Galatians 4 or 5 today?
Let's go to 5.
5? What's in 5?
Oh, cool stuff, man.
This is what we were going to talk about last week.
Yeah. In fact, why don't you read, I don't know. Why don't you read 16 through 24 of Galatians 5?
Okay. Well, can I start from 13?
Sure.
Yeah. For you were called for freedom, brothers, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outburst of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envious of one another.
Mm. What a great passage.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts at the beginning in 13. Good, you started in 13. You know, we're called to freedom. We have liberty because of the cross.
Right.
You know, the point he makes in Romans, of course, is when you're under the law totally, you're in bondage to the law.
Right.
Because your main concern is focused on, I got to keep the law. But mm-hmm. now under grace, you have freedom because you know that you're forgiven.
Right.
You're going to fall from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that you're going to be forgiven.
Right.
But he says there that this liberty, this freedom is not a license to do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he makes that pretty clear.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple shows ago.
Yeah, a couple shows ago, because he says you got to love one another, serve one another, because if you start having conflicts, you're going to devour each other.
Yeah.
And then that harms the body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the kingdom of darkness likes nothing more than Christians dividing themselves, bickering with each other, arguing all the time, this hatred kind of thing that goes on.
Yeah.
Well, those people over there, those people at that other church. And this is very injurious to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because he says love is the center of it, and there's no law against love.
Right. Exactly.
So when you live that, you know, when you live in the Spirit, when you walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. And so you follow the Spirit's guidance. So you have, you know, which is the Word of God, which is from the Spirit, and the grace of God, which is through the cross.
Right.
And then the Spirit leading you as you should live your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't have the condemnation that comes with living in the flesh.
Right.
If you do that. And, I think it's interesting. And what we really wanted to expand on was starting in verse 19, was he says the works of the flesh are evident.
Yeah.
I mean, the works of the flesh are evident.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and we'll talk about that, but then when he talks about from the Spirit, he says the fruits of the Spirit. So the flesh, you know, the flesh has its own works, but the Spirit has fruit.
Exactly.
Allows you to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You might have to be pruned once in a while, but you still are going to bear fruit.
Every good fruit tree likes to get pruned in the springtime or the fall.
So it's interesting that when he lists these things, and, you know, that's quite a list that you read, and if you were following along in your Bible, it's, you know, the works of the flesh, it's quite a list he has there. And then in some other books, he has some other list. But he says, if you do these things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom.
Right.
If this is how you live your life, you're not going to inherit the kingdom. You got to guard against this.
Yeah.
And he mentions this in 1 Corinthians 6. He says, you know, when you do these kind of things, you have to be washed clean of them. He doesn't say, oh, if you do these kind of things, don't worry, because as long as you signed the card and said the prayer, you'll be okay.
Right.
He says, you got to wash yourself clean of this. Not that you're going to wash yourself, but you know what I mean. You have to be washed clean of these things, because you're not going to inherit the kingdom if this is how you live your life.
Right. And once again, you know, Paul is concerned for their spiritual growth, their spiritual maturity, their growing in the faith and becoming mature Christians so that they too can hand on the faith and make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're acting out of the flesh, if you say that you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you love your brother and sister in the Lord, but you're always going around and you're improper, you have hatred in your heart, you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're jealous, you're creating rivalries, that's not the kingdom, and that's not of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so if people see that, you know, that should be obvious to us today that those are not works of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus came to fulfill the law. He says, you know, he fulfills the law. But what did he do? He laid down his life out of love for us, the greatest act of love that you can give. And he fulfills the law in that way. So as disciples of the Lord, this is why Paul writes this. You know, you have to crucify the desires of your flesh to the cross of Jesus Christ so that you don't go after those things.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be an imitator of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You have to be if you want to be a disciple of him, and Jesus says himself, if you want to be my disciple, deny your very self, take up your cross, and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, sign the card, and I'm going to give you a Mercedes-Benz. That there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But, or that I'm going to give you some fancy sports car, some big house.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a comfortable life. You might have a life of strife. Mm-hmm. You don't know.
Mm-hmm. But you don't know where he's going to send you.
No, you don't. But what's important is that you hold fast to the Lord, and you're not a reed that's swayed by the wind.
Yes. That's a good point.
That your faith in your life is built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and not built on shifting sand.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a new believer, you know, when you're not a believer, which I was not a believer in Jesus Christ in the manner that I am now for a long time, it was very easy to justify everything I did.
Oh, sure.
But when you become a new believer and the Spirit of God comes into your heart and you see the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
Yes.
This is real.
Mm-hmm.
This is there's a clear distinction. I can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have to follow the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Paul is telling them for their own benefit, you can't go around acting like this. You can't go around conducting yourselves like this because it's not of God.
Yes.
It's not of the Spirit.
Yes.
And it's not going to produce any fruit because love produces all the things that he mentions there that are in the Spirit.
And you know, we were talking about especially in 1 Corinthians 5, he tells the church to throw this one particular person out of the church.
Right.
Don't have him in your assembly or turn him over to Satan, which we would say he excommunicated him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, you're out of here. We don't want you in the church anymore, which was pretty dramatic. I mean,
it was probably somebody who did not want to take instruction.
Yes.
And they had tried to.
But you know, what I thought about that when you were talking is, when you're not a believer, you can rationalize things, but the bottom line is, I don't really care. I can rationalize this, but I did it, so what? Okay, well, I feel bad I did that particular thing, but, you know, I'll get over it. I mean, that's okay. But when you're walking in the Spirit, it's different. Now, if the guy in the Corinthian church, who was some kind of leader that everybody obviously respected, has this disgusting moral failure, and they say, well, yeah, but that's so-and-so. We can't say anything about that. Paul says, throw him out.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to contaminate the body.
Yeah.
You know, and these things you just mentioned, if you're living that way, you also create a public scandal when people look and say, well, he goes to that church over there and he lives like a drunken sailor.
Yeah.
You know, that's gives scandal to that church, and it weakens the body because outsiders look and say, he's no different than I am. Yeah. Why should I go over there?
Yeah. And, you know, we all sin.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make that clear. Mm-hmm. We all sin. Yeah,
absolutely.
But the person, let's put it this way. When somebody lies and they don't even blush, and they have no concern that they are lying and they continue to lie, their hearts are hardened towards the reality or the truth that they are lying.
Yes.
But when a person lies and they go, I told a lie there. I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
They made a mistake, but they're willing to admit their mistake.
Mm-hmm. And repent of it.
Yeah. Repentance is the difference.
Yes.
If somebody's willing to repent, there's a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
A humble, contrite heart, O God, you will not spurn.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's not willing to repent, then they stand really in opposition to the mercy of God and go, I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
And their pride is in their way. So, I mean, how many times do you hear people go, well, I'm not going to let my beliefs influence my decisions.
Yeah.
Especially politicians.
Oh, I'm not
we don't want to make the whole show political, but if you're not going to allow your beliefs to influence your decisions, then why do you go to school and get educated?
Yeah.
Why do you have anything to do with that if you're not going to allow your beliefs or your faith to influence your decisions?
Yeah.
You're accounting them as nothing.
Yes. But you hit the nail on the head, because when your flesh is to be crucified along with Christ and you have this metanoia, and Paul says, you know, you have the fruits of the Spirit that come through that grace. These are fruits, not works. And it comes from your new creation. It comes in your new life. You need to walk then, trying to form yourself to be more and more like Christ, trying to be remade in his image. You're not going to be his image, but your goal is holiness. You know, be holy because I am holy.
Right.
The goal is, you know, the Father's trying to conform the believers to be more like his Son.
Exactly.
He's our brother. We're adopted sons and daughters.
Right.
We should look more like him in how we live our life.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you live in grace, if you're walking in the Spirit, you say, well, you know, I almost did that, but I didn't do it. You know, I was really going to do that, but, you know, the Holy Spirit kept me in check. I'm not going to do that because isn't going to be right. Rather than just doing whatever you feel like it and say, well, I'm saved anyway.
God gave Abel the same opportunity, or Cain and Abel. He said, Cain, you know, sin is crouching at your door, but you can master it.
Yeah. Yes.
And he chose to ignore God's word.
Yeah.
And he committed murder.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if you are guided by the Spirit and you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and gentleness and self-control, and that dwells in your heart, well, your whole attitude, all of your actions are going to be different towards people than if you have selfishness, bitterness, and hatred. You're going to respond differently.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, the fruit that you produce is going to be different.
Mm-hmm. So if your flesh has been crucified, you're supposed to be dead to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Or we should say we have to strive to be dead right. to sin. We live for righteousness. We die to sin. And so it's a, always the conflict between flesh and spirit.
Yeah.
And he makes this tremendous distinction here of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, we're still, whatever anybody tells you, and no matter whether you're St. Francis or Stalin, you're carrying around Adam's nature. You're always going to have that.
Exactly.
You're always going to have that. And I'm sure there were times when St. Francis said, you know what? I'm sick of you guys. Get out of here. And I don't want to hear this anymore. And I'm sick of your whining. And because he's a human being.
Yeah.
And no human being is going to walk around with their hands folded 2 feet off the ground with a halo around their head.
Yeah.
But you strive not to do that.
Right. And that's why Paul starts this whole passage out with telling them, you were called to freedom, but don't use the freedom that you've been given through the cross of Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
for an opportunity.
Yes.
To, you know, for an opportunities of the flesh to divide the community, mm-hmm. but serve one another with love or through love.
Right. Yes. You work together. You don't desire your own glory.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're the guy who's the head of the big church and you're really proud that you're the guy who's the head of the big church,
mm-hmm.
you're going to think differently than a bunch of believers together worshiping that are not seeking their own glory. They're just trying to do what the Lord wants them to do.
Right.
Without setting up conflict, without right. having jealousy.
Right.
And this is essential.
Yeah.
Not only in people who are, quote, in ministry,
mm-hmm.
but for the people that are just going to worship. Because there's always factions that are going to be set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are.
I belonged to a church one time where they had a school, and the whole big thing was, did you have kids in the school? And I didn't have kids in the school. So the people said, well, you don't have kids in the school. So the people who had kids in the school, they pretty much ran the place. The people who didn't have kids in the school were the second-class citizens. So then you get this, like, not quite hostility, but kind of a, you know, separation into two groups.
A little snootiness.
Yeah, a little snootiness.
It's almost like Galatians 6. Are you yeah. circumcised or not?
That's right. Yeah. And that's not the point. I mean, if, use Billy Graham as an example.
Yeah.
If Billy Graham would have gone into a stadium to do one of his crusades and started boasting about all the crusades he's done and all the things he's done, and nobody's an evangelist like he is because he's reached, you know, 10 million people and look what I'm doing. And all the stuff he had done would have been for nothing.
Yeah.
Because he would have brought it. He would have boasted in it.
All the focus. Yeah. On
his, all the focus would have been on him.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, and he didn't do that. I mean, I have the utmost respect for him.
Right.
And especially when he said, I'm just one of the evangelists God's called, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I mean, there's an attitude, there's a real humility there. And God, that's why God probably used him to that degree, because he was yeah. so humble
mm-hmm.
and God was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a proud person, you're a haughty person, you get in the way of what God wants to do and you know, you're probably mm-hmm. going to fall.
I went to see Billy Graham at Cleveland Stadium when he was here in June of 94. I wasn't a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, my wife wanted to go, and I went just because, oh, I want to see a famous person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, I'd like to see a famous person. Like when you see a famous ball player or you
yeah.
see a famous politician, you know, you go someplace and the president's there. Say, oh, I saw the president.
Yeah.
I go, okay, I saw Billy Graham. So I don't remember what he talked about. And then, you know, it's like he did the altar call, and she said to me, do you want to go down? I was like, no. I came to see Billy Graham. I saw him. Let's go.
Oh, wow.
But is this the music already?
It is.
Oh, we're not done with Galatians.
Next week.
Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would take the opportunity to seek the heart of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, that he would come into your heart as Lord and Savior. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.